We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Cops, when did you arrest someone and immediately regret it? Story 1. It was supposed to be a quick trespassing call at an abandoned church. Local teens had been using it to hang out. When we got there, we found a man in his 50s quietly sitting in a pew, hands folded, no sign of any teenagers. I asked for ID, but he didn't have one. Said his name was Thomas Green. He spoke calmly, said he used to be a pastor there before it shut down. I still had to detain him, standard procedure. As I cuffed him, I remember the sadness in his eyes, like he wasn't surprised. Back at the station, we ran his name. Dispatcher went pale. This guy died 6 years ago. I laughed. She didn't. I checked the record myself. Yep, Reverend Thomas Green. Died of cancer. Buried less than a mile from the church. Security footage showed no one entering or leaving before we arrived. But we'd all seen him. Talked to him. Fingerprinted him. And then, his prints didn't match anyone. The kicker? The cuffs were still in the patrol car the next day, locked, like no one had ever been inside. I don't do church calls anymore. Story 2. I arrested an elderly woman once, looked like your average grandma, for shoplifting 2 bottles of wine and a rotisserie chicken. She didn't argue, just looked embarrassed. Told me she hadn't eaten in 2 days. Policy's policy. I processed her. During intake, I asked if she had family to call. She said, "No one talks to me anymore. I was mean when I was younger. This is how people forget you." It hit me hard. I bought her lunch from the vending machine out of my own pocket. Later, my supervisor walked in and froze. "Is that Gloria Dempsey?" Turned out she was his kindergarten teacher. He remembered her cookies, her songs, her hugs, and I had her in cuffs over dinner. We dropped the charges. The store manager refused to press them once he heard the story. My supervisor drove her home himself. I still send her a Christmas card every year. Story 3. Arrested a guy for reckless driving, going 110 in a 55 zone. Standard stop, except he wouldn't talk. Just stared ahead, pale. I asked if he'd been drinking. No slurring. Breathalyzer was clean. Then he started crying. Said he was rushing to the hospital. His wife had gone into labor and he thought she might die. He wasn't lying. He had the hospital on speaker, nurse confirming they were prepping for an emergency C-section. I had him in cuffs when he got the call. "It's a girl. She's okay. But your wife didn't make it." I undid the cuffs. Told him to get in the cruiser. Drove him straight to the hospital, lights on. No sirens. I wrote up the ticket, then tore it in half. Story 4. Years ago, we picked up a homeless man who had broken into a bakery. He'd eaten 2 pastries and fallen asleep in the back. Owner wanted charges. Said it was the 4th time this month. Guy's name was Marvin, mid-40s, missing teeth, smelled awful, but he apologized to me in perfect French. That caught me off guard. Turned out he was a concert pianist from Montreal. He'd come to the U.S. after his wife died, fell into depression, lost his passport, lost everything. We verified part of the story. His name showed up in an old performance program from the Montreal Philharmonic. I pulled a favor and got him 1 supervised hour with a piano at the local high school. He played Chopin. A janitor wept. I still regret putting cuffs on those hands. Story 5. It was the 4th of July. My partner and I responded to a report of a man acting erratically near the boardwalk, carrying what looked like a Molotov cocktail. We tackled him hard, smashed the glass out of his hands, cuffed him hard. Crowd clapped. Then we realized it wasn't a Molotov. It was a glass-blown lantern. Inside was a rolled-up piece of paper, a marriage proposal. He had planned to walk down the beach, give the lantern to his girlfriend, and propose when the fireworks began. We arrested a guy mid-proposal, in front of half his friends. His girlfriend was sobbing. We apologized, took off the cuffs. He didn't say a word. Just walked into the ocean and sat there until the sun came up. They didn't get engaged that night. And we didn't stop feeling like monsters for weeks. Story 6. I arrested a 17-year-old girl for stealing a pregnancy test at a pharmacy. She tried to bolt when she saw me walking in. Didn't even get out the door. As I cuffed her, she looked like a scared animal. Eyes darting, shaking, hyperventilating. I tried to reassure her that she wasn't going to jail. It was a citation. But she kept whispering, "He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me." I asked who he was. She wouldn't say. Back at the station, she opened up. Her 36-year-old boyfriend had warned her never to get pregnant. She stole the test because she was too scared to buy it. She was living with him. Her parents had kicked her out for dating him in the first place. We looked him up. He had 3 aliases, 2 open warrants for abuse, and a sealed case in another state. She wasn't a thief. She was a victim. We dropped the charge and got her into protective custody, but I still see her face sometimes when I pull up to another domestic call. Story 7. I once arrested a guy who was playing the violin on a subway platform. Technically, it was illegal, busking without a permit. But he wasn't bothering anyone. A Karen type had called it in, claiming he was aggressively performing. He was mid-song when I approached. I told him to stop. He didn't hear me. He was too into it. I touched his shoulder and he flinched so violently he knocked over his violin case. Then he said in the calmest voice, "Please don't take me. This is all I have left." I still remember how his hands trembled as he picked up a laminated photo of a girl, his daughter. She had died from leukemia 3 months earlier. He'd played at her bedside every night. Now he played at stations near hospitals for other kids who might be scared. That report sat on my desk for 2 days before I crumpled it up. Story 8. We busted a guy for illegal fireworks, 4th of July again. He had crates of them, enough to light up a whole town. We assumed he was planning to sell. He refused to speak until we got him back to the station. Then he asked, "Can I tell you a story?" Turns out he was an Afghanistan vet, lost both legs to an IED, spent 5 years recovering. The fireworks? They were a tribute. Every year since, he set off a choreographed show in his backyard for other vets and their families, people with PTSD who had learned to associate controlled explosions with healing. He invited neighbors, called it taking the booms back. The city had changed its laws and he didn't know. We didn't book him, we escorted him home, and I showed up to his next show with my kids. Story 9. Had a call about a guy loitering in front of a jewelry store for over an hour. Owner thought he was casing the place. We rolled up, ready to detain him. He looked rough, hood up, fidgety, pacing. I told him to put his hands up. He didn't resist, just said, "It's not what it looks like." Turned out he was waiting for his girlfriend to get off work across the street. He was saving up for a ring and kept coming to stare at the one he wanted to buy her. Every week. Same time, same window. She had no idea. We verified it. He had screenshots of the ring, had been talking to the store clerk about a payment plan. I let him go, told him he had better propose soon. He did. I got an invite to their wedding. Didn't go, but I still have the photo he mailed me of her wearing the ring. Story 10. During a protest 3 years ago, we had orders to detain anyone past curfew. Tensions were high. I spotted a young man spray painting a heart on a concrete barricade. I tackled him before he saw me coming. He fought back hard. I cuffed him, read him his rights, and marched him to the van. On the way, he kept yelling, "You don't know what that heart means." I found out later, in a news article. His little brother had been killed by a stray bullet in that exact spot a year before. The heart was the same symbol he used to draw with him. The article had a photo. The same man, same heart. He wasn't protesting, he was mourning. I carried regret in my chest for weeks, still do. Story 11. I once arrested a woman for a fake 911 call. She reported that her son had gone missing, but when we arrived, she kept changing her story, said he'd been missing for years, not minutes. Dispatch flagged her for frequent false calls. She'd made over 20 in the past decade. Mental illness was suspected. Policy said we had to bring her in this time. She didn't fight it, just clutched a worn-out photo of a little boy in a red hoodie. At booking, one of the older officers stopped in his tracks. "That kid looks familiar." Turned out he was. The boy had disappeared from a grocery store in 1997. Huge search, never found. The photo matched one from the original file, her son. It wasn't a fake call. It was grief trying to speak through years of silence. I drove her home that night and sat with her for a while. I don't think I've ever felt smaller in uniform. Story 12, midnight call. Local gas station had been robbed. Cashier flagged down a guy in a hoodie running through the alley. We detained him fast. He had a cut on his hand and money in his pocket. Felt like an open and shut case. Except, he wouldn't stop repeating, "Check the cameras. Please, just check." We did. And the real thief? 5 minutes earlier. Same hoodie, same build, but shorter. Our guy had just walked in to buy bandages after cutting himself on broken glass at a bus stop. He'd picked up a $20 bill that fell from the register, trying to return it when the clerk panicked. The guilt when I uncuffed him is hard to describe. He said, "It's okay. I get it. I'm used to it." That stung more than the mistake. Story 13. Got a call about a guy breaking into his own car. Store manager assumed he was stealing it because he was using a coat hanger to unlock the door. I arrived, weapons ready, and ordered him to step away. He froze, hands up, clearly panicked. Said it was his car, said he'd lost the keys. Showed me his insurance card and license, but they were inside the car. I still cuffed him, had to verify. That's when a little girl came running out of the store yelling, "Daddy!" She jumped into his arms while I still had the cuffs on his wrists. A bystander filmed the whole thing. It went viral for all the wrong reasons. Yes, we confirmed the car was his. Yes, I let him go. But I'll never forget his daughter saying, "Why did you hurt my dad? He didn't do anything." I still don't have an answer. Story 14. There was this teen tagging walls with graffiti. He wasn't even good at it, just writing the same word over and over in big block letters. Sonar. Caught him red-handed, paint on his fingers. He didn't resist, didn't say much. But when I asked what sonar meant, he finally looked up and whispered, "My brother's call sign. He was a Navy diver. Died last year. He said he sprays it around the city because it's the only way he knows how to talk to him." I froze. Remembered my own brother's dog tag sitting in a drawer at home. We called the property owner, explained everything. He agreed to let the kid repaint the wall, this time as a memorial mural. The arrest was tossed. The kid still tags sometimes, but now it's art. Every time I see sonar, I nod and move on. Story 15. During a welfare check, we found a man living in a condemned trailer. Power cut, rotting floor, barely standing. He was old, gaunt, barely coherent, and surrounded by dozens of cats. Health department had flagged the location as a hazard. We had to remove him and call animal control. I was the one who put the cuffs on. He didn't resist. But when I asked why he refused help all these years, he said, "Because they're the only ones who stayed." Turned out the cats were all rescues. Every one of them had names, med records. He'd spent his retirement feeding strays when no one else would. We found out he was a retired veterinarian. He didn't need arresting. He needed someone to fix the hole in his roof. Story 16. We raided a house on a narcotics tip. Anonymous caller claimed meth production. Strong chemical smell, run-down neighborhood, so it all checked out on paper. Inside, we found a young man, early 20s, hunched over a table with tubes and beakers. He didn't resist, just looked stunned. We bagged everything. I was writing the report when I noticed something weird. No trace of meth, no residue, just oddly clean chemistry. Turns out he was distilling lavender and rosemary oil. The guy had lost his job during COVID, dropped out of college, and started making essential oils to sell online. He had just gotten his first Etsy order. The chemical smell was mint extract. We'd destroyed his equipment, took his only laptop. Neighbors watched us drag him out like a criminal. Charges were dropped, but it didn't undo what we broke. Story 17. Pulled over a guy going 15 under the speed limit. He was drifting, looked nervous, thought it might be DUI. He was sweating bullets, barely made eye contact. License was expired. Car smelled like weed. I asked him to step out. He looked like he was going to pass out. While waiting for backup, I started asking casual questions. Turns out he was a first-generation college student on the way to his first job interview. He was afraid his expired license would get him disqualified. He borrowed his cousin's car and didn't realize there was weed in the trunk. He had no record, nothing in the system, just bad luck and worse timing. I let him go with a warning and a ride to the interview. He mailed me a photo 3 months later. His employee badge, with the caption, You could have ruined me. You didn't. Thank you. Story 18. There was a guy who broke into a public pool after hours. He wasn't doing damage, just swimming laps. Staff called it in, assuming vandalism. We arrested him. He was soaking wet and didn't resist, just looked embarrassed. At the station, he finally told us why. He was autistic. Water calmed him. Crowds terrified him. So he waited until the pool was empty to sneak in and swim for 20 minutes. Same night, same time, every week. He'd been doing it for months. He wasn't trying to steal or destroy anything, he just wanted quiet. Instead of charges, I called the Parks Department. 2 weeks later, they added a quiet swim hour for neurodivergent individuals. After a petition, I signed myself. The man never came back to the station, but I heard he swims legally now. Story 19. Had to arrest a man for squatting in an abandoned apartment complex. No electricity, no heat, winter storm rolling in. He was wrapped in a blanket, cooking beans on a tiny propane burner. When I cuffed him, he asked if he could grab one thing. He picked up a Polaroid of two toddlers, stained and creased, said, "They used to live here. So did I. Before they were taken. Social services had placed his kids in foster care after the eviction. He kept coming back, hoping someone would let him live there again, even illegally, so he could be closer to where they remember me. I looked him up. No criminal history, no drugs, no violence, just life kicking him in the ribs. I gave him my old coat. The next morning, I started a fundraiser with my precinct. Within a week, we had him in a shelter. A month later, he got visitation. Story 20. It was a slow Tuesday when I got a call about a woman trespassing at a children's hospital construction site. She was in a hard hat and scrubs, just sitting alone on a concrete slab. We pulled her out. She didn't resist. Said she used to be a pediatric nurse before cancer took her off the job. She told me, "I helped raise the money for this hospital. I just wanted to sit in the spot where my old NICU wing will be." I asked her name, looked her up. She wasn't lying. She'd led the fundraising campaign, had over a decade of service. The new hospital had dedicated the wing to her name, but the ceremony hadn't happened yet. No one had told her. She found out by reading the construction plans online. I walked her back to the slab, let her sit, told the crew to give her an hour. The arrest report? It never existed. Story 21. I once arrested a guy who wouldn't stop banging on the door of a nursing home, screaming a woman's name. Residents were scared. Staff thought he was drunk. I found him curled on the ground, crying. I went through the usual questions, and he said, "I just want to see her, just for a second." He handed me a worn wedding photo. They'd been married 62 years. He'd visited her every day until she got transferred to the dementia wing, where visitation rules changed due to an outbreak. That night was their anniversary. He was begging to see her because she didn't remember who he was during the day. But sometimes at night, she called his name. I didn't arrest him. I sat beside him and made some calls. The staff let him in for 5 minutes. She smiled and said, "There you are." Story 22. Got a dispatch about a guy in a superhero costume trespassing on school property. Thought it was some weirdo trying to film TikToks or scare kids. We tackled him behind the gym. He was in a full DIY Spider-Man suit, duct tape patches and all. He begged us not to take him in. Said he was trying to surprise his nephew, who was undergoing chemo and hadn't smiled in weeks. Sure enough, the principal confirmed it. That's Leo's uncle. He shows up every Friday in costume to walk Leo home. It's the highlight of that kid's life. We let him finish the walk. When Leo saw him, he ran up and shouted, "Spidey! I've made a lot of arrests." That day, I undid one. Story 23. Pulled over a guy with a cracked windshield and no taillight. Routine stop until he refused to roll his window all the way down. Looked nervous. Twitchy. We cuffed him. Vehicle search revealed nothing illegal, just school supplies in the back. I asked why he was acting sketchy. He said, "I've been pulled over 4 times this year. Every time I get treated like a criminal. I just didn't want to get shot tonight." He was a high school teacher. Bought the supplies with his own money. Had never even had a parking ticket. It hit me how broken the trust was. I gave him a warning, but it didn't matter. The damage had already been done, long before I showed up. Story 24. Had a call about a suspicious man outside a church at 3 a.m. Security cam saw him lighting candles on the steps. When we got there, he was crying. I cuffed him. He didn't say a word. I asked if he was trying to vandalize the church. He shook his head and just said, "It's her birthday." He'd lost his daughter in a car crash 3 years prior. The church was where her funeral had been held. Every year, he lit the same 3 candles for her. I removed the cuffs and stepped back. Let him finish. The next day, I left a note with the pastor, asking him to leave the candles alone next year. Story 25. Arrested a teen for stealing diapers and formula. Single mom called it in, said she didn't want him charged, just wanted her stuff back. When we brought him in, he was quiet, angry. Said, "She didn't tell you the whole story. He and the woman were neighbors. She had an infant and no money." He'd heard her crying through the wall. Asked if she needed anything, she said no. But he knew the truth, so he used his last $60 to buy her baby supplies. He broke into her place to leave them inside because she was too proud to accept help. She saw him leaving through the window and assumed the worst. I took him back, explained everything. She started crying, then hugged him. Not all break-ins end in regrets, but arrests like that, they stick with you. Story 26. We got a call about a guy loitering near a hotel dumpster. Claimed he was digging through private property. When we showed up, he looked startled but calm. Dressed in layers, wearing 2 backpacks. Homeless, probably. I went through the usual script and patted him down. Found a hotel room key card in his pocket. Assumed it was stolen. He said, "No, it's mine. Just can't go in yet." Didn't believe him. I cuffed him and brought him to the front desk to verify. Clerk said, "Yeah, that's Mr. Whitaker. Room 312, paid in full." I asked why he was in the trash pile. He said, "I used to live like this for 14 years. Just wanted to remind myself not to go back. It helps me stay clean." He'd been sober 19 months, got a part-time job, living small, living proud. I shook his hand before letting him go. Still think about how gently he said, "I get it, officer. It's just the uniform that made you doubt me, not the person." Story 27. Call came through about a stolen bicycle. Found a teenage boy riding one that matched the description a block away. No helmet, no lights, no ID. He froze when we stopped him. Wouldn't speak. Just clutched the handlebars like his life depended on it. I took it from him. He begged, "Please don't take it. Please, I didn't steal it." Back at the station, his aunt showed up with the receipt. He didn't steal the bike. He built it using parts from junkyards and pawn shops. His mom had passed 2 months ago. The bike was his way of coping. He'd named it after her. The person who reported the theft? Their bike had been returned already by a friend, but they didn't tell dispatch. We gave the kid a new helmet and a refund for the trouble. I offered him an apology, but I knew it would never be enough. Story 28. We detained a woman for causing a scene at a train station. She was screaming at a bench, literally yelling at an empty bench. People assumed she was mentally unstable. She was clutching flowers and shouting, "You promised me! You said you'd be here!" We approached gently. She didn't resist.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Just collapsed, sobbing. Turned out her fiancé had died in a crash on the way to meet her there exactly 1 year earlier. Every year since, she came back with flowers to wait for him again. She wasn't yelling at the bench. She was reliving the moment her world fell apart. I rode the train with her to her stop. Didn't cuff her. Just sat with her in silence while she whispered he was late. But he always showed. Story 29. Had a guy in handcuffs within 2 minutes of responding to a suspicious person report outside a jewelry store. Security flagged him because he was pacing and sweating. When we asked what he was doing, he blurted, "I can't go in." We assumed he was casing the place, until we searched his backpack. Inside was an engagement ring and a handwritten speech. He was planning to propose to his girlfriend right in front of the store where they met 5 years ago. He'd saved for months, practiced every word. He was just too anxious to walk in. We uncuffed him, waited out of sight, watched her show up 15 minutes later. She said yes. I've never been happier to be wrong. Story 30. A bar fight turned into an arrest for assault. We pulled a guy off another man. He was crying, yelling something about, "You killed him. You don't get to smile." Witnesses claimed he threw the first punch. We booked him. In holding, he told us his brother had died 2 years ago from a hit and run. The guy he attacked was the driver. He'd gotten off on a technicality. Same face, same laugh, same bar he used to drink at with his brother. He saw red. Court dropped the charges once they heard the full story. Still, I remember walking him to his cell and hearing him say, "He got away with killing him, but at least now he knows I remember." Story 31. We arrested a guy for trespassing in an old shuttered movie theater. He had a sleeping bag, food wrappers, and a portable radio. Looked like your average squatter. I asked him why he picked that place. He said, "I saw Star Wars here in 1977. My mom held my hand during the trench run. It's the last place I felt safe." That building was scheduled to be demolished in 2 weeks. He knew. Said he just wanted to sleep under that ceiling one last time. He even pointed out where the popcorn machine used to be. I asked him what he did before this life. He said, "Nothing. But I was somebody when the lights went down." We didn't charge him. We let him finish the night. Next morning, I brought him breakfast and tickets to a new cinema across town. He didn't want the tickets. He just kept the stub. Story 32. I was still green when I cuffed an elderly man for indecent exposure. He was wandering in a public park without pants, confused, rambling, clearly disoriented. Dispatch flagged him as a repeat nuisance, neighbor complaints. "He does this every week." I was irritated. Put him in the cruiser, didn't ask many questions. At the station, his daughter showed up sobbing, explained he had late-stage Alzheimer's. The park used to be where he walked with his wife every Sunday morning. She died last year. Every Saturday night, he dressed for that walk. Every Sunday, he forgot his pants and wandered off trying to find her. I felt sick. We never charged him, but every Sunday after that, I drove by and checked in. Brought him coffee. Sat with him on the bench. Story 33. Arrested a woman for yelling at a memorial service in a cemetery. Report said she was intoxicated and disruptive. When we showed up, she was screaming, clutching a bottle of wine and cursing at a priest. She went limp in cuffs, whispering, "You don't get to bury him like he was loved." Turns out the service was for her estranged brother. He'd been abusive. The family swept it under the rug, and after his death, they painted him as a saint. She showed up to scream the truth because no one else would. When we looked into it, we found sealed records, reports, restraining orders. The family wanted her silenced. We almost helped them do it. Instead, we dropped the charges and offered to walk her out the back way. She nodded and said, "Thank you. I didn't come to mourn. I came to survive." Story 34. I was called to a 24-hour diner where a man had refused to pay. He sat in a booth with a full plate of untouched pancakes. When I arrived, he looked calm. "I won't run," he said, "but please let me finish my coffee." He wasn't aggressive or evasive, just quiet. Looked like a veteran, judging by the jacket patches. When I cuffed him, he said, "Last meal with my son was right here. Same booth. He died 2 weeks later in Afghanistan. I come back every year. It's all I can do." He had the money, left it on the table. Just forgot to pay before the staff panicked and called us. I paid for his meal anyway. He never asked for anything. Just whispered, he liked blueberry syrup. Put too much on everything. I remember that detail more than I wish I did. Story 35. One night we arrested a young woman dancing barefoot in the middle of the freeway. Thought she was high or suicidal. She smiled when we pulled up. Said nothing. When we asked what she was doing, she just said, "Listening." In the car, she finally explained. Her brother had died in a crash on that exact stretch of road 3 years earlier. Every year, she came back and danced in the spot where his tires last touched asphalt. She said he used to call her Twirl because of how she danced in the kitchen as a kid. That night was his birthday. It was reckless, yes, but also beautiful in a strange, heartbreaking way. We gave her a citation, but we also gave her space. Some grief doesn't want justice. It just wants to be seen. Story 36. We arrested a guy who kept setting off the fire alarm at a public library. Third time that month, librarians were fed up, so they pressed charges this time. When we cuffed him, he looked terrified, kept muttering, "She's in there, she's trapped." We assumed he was mentally ill. Turned out he'd survived a house fire as a child and had recurring hallucinations of his little sister screaming from inside burning rooms. She didn't survive the real fire. He came to the library because that's where they used to read together. Every time his anxiety peaked, he thought the building would go up in flames. We dropped the charges, got him into trauma therapy. 2 months later, he wrote a letter that said, "You didn't arrest me. You saved me from burning again." Story 37. I once arrested a kid for shoplifting cold medicine. 17. Hood up, face pale, wouldn't talk. Store manager wanted to press charges because he'd seen the same kid lurking before. At the station, we finally got the story. His mom was in bed with the flu, barely responsive. No insurance, no money. He tried to shoplift medicine for her. He didn't even grab name brand. He grabbed the cheapest generic bottle he could find. He thought if she got worse, they'd take her away. "I've already lost Dad," he said. "I can't lose her." The charges didn't stick. We drove him home with 2 bags of medicine and groceries. She made a full recovery. He later sent us a handwritten thank you card signed, "With more hope than I had before." Story 38. A man was parked in a no-standing zone outside a courthouse for over 2 hours. Complaints came in. We approached and saw he was asleep in the driver's seat. When we woke him up, he panicked and tried to drive off. We stopped him and cuffed him for obstruction. He was shaking. Inside the car was a worn leather binder filled with handwritten letters. He told us his wife had died from cancer 3 years ago. She used to be a public defender and worked in that building. Every year, on the anniversary of her death, he parked outside the courthouse and read one letter aloud from the binder. One each year. Just one. This was letter number 3. He missed reading it that day because we detained him. He still forgave us. That made it worse. Story 39. Responded to a disturbance call at a motel, screaming from room 8. Thought it was domestic violence. We arrived with backup. Inside, we found a teenage boy trying to restrain his father, who was drunk and swinging wildly. We separated them. The father went quietly. The boy begged us not to arrest him. He said, "He's all I have left." Turns out they were both homeless. The father had recently relapsed. They were staying in that motel on borrowed money. The son had been clean for over a year and was trying to keep his dad from hitting rock bottom. We booked the father. But before we left, the son handed me his last $5 and said, "Can you give him something to eat before he sobers up? He hates hospital food." That $5 is still in my locker. Story 40. We arrested a woman on a subway platform for yelling at a transit worker. Thought it was just another irate commuter. But when we cuffed her, she said, "They left me again. They always leave me." She'd missed her last train. The worker wouldn't let her stay overnight. Back at the station, we learned she was a former foster kid. Every time she got moved as a child, she was told to pack up and wait at a bus stop or a station. Her anxiety was triggered by being left behind. She said subway platforms felt like abandonment. She had nowhere to go. No current charges, no place to release her to. So I called an old friend from a nonprofit, got her a warm bed, a ride, someone who wouldn't leave. We didn't file the report. Because what she needed wasn't an arrest. It was a second chance at arriving somewhere. Story 41. We arrested a man outside a maternity ward for threatening behavior. Nurses said he was yelling at the sky and refusing to leave. When we approached, he was pacing with clenched fists, eyes full of tears. He didn't run, didn't fight. He just said, "I wasn't supposed to outlive her." His wife had just passed during childbirth. Complications. The baby survived, but he wasn't allowed to hold his daughter yet. Hospital policy during emergency procedures. He had no family left, no one to call, just the hallway. The yelling? He was reading aloud a letter his wife had written to their unborn daughter months earlier. He wanted her to hear it before he met her. We didn't cuff him. We walked him back inside and stayed until the nurse brought the baby out. He held her with shaking hands and whispered, "Your mom's voice will always be louder than mine." Story 42. Arrested a man for trying to break into a parked school bus behind a mechanic's lot. Owner pressed charges. Thought he was trying to steal tools. We found the guy sobbing in the driver's seat. He used to be a school bus driver, retired early after a stroke. That bus, same company, same route he'd driven for 20 years. He said it looked just like bus number 14. I had a dream last night, he said, that I forgot a kid. I woke up and couldn't breathe. I had to check. I had to make sure. We called the owner, explained everything. Charges dropped immediately. The man had even brought a lost and found box with him. Inside were a mitten, a small lunchbox, and a crumpled drawing labeled, "Thank you, Mr. Bobby." He still knew their names. Story 43. Had to detain a woman accused of stalking a local high school football coach. She'd been at every game, every practice, sitting silently in the stands. The coach felt uneasy. Didn't recognize her. So we followed up. She admitted she'd been there for months. Said nothing until we cuffed her. My son should have been the quarterback this year, but he died last winter. Car crash. That boy out there. He was my son's best friend. I just wanted to see the life my boy cheered for. She wasn't stalking. She was grieving. Quietly, respectfully, from a distance. The coach dropped the complaint the second he heard her story. We got her a sideline badge. She's now the team's official game day photographer. Story 44. We responded to a complaint about a creepy guy standing in a playground at dusk. Multiple parents had called. When we arrived, he was holding a notebook and staring at the jungle gym. We asked him to sit down. He said, "I'm just watching. I'm not here to hurt anyone." That wasn't good enough, so we detained him. The notebook was full of sketches of kids, specific kids. I flipped a few pages and found a drawing of a boy with glasses, laughing on the monkey bars. We pressed him. Finally, he told us. His son had died from leukemia 2 years ago. The sketchbook was how he kept his memory alive. Every afternoon, he came to the playground and drew what he imagined his son would look like at that age. Page after page showed the same boy, older, stronger, smiling. We didn't charge him. Instead, I asked if he could draw a picture of my daughter someday, too. Story 45. I once arrested a man in a clown suit outside a children's hospital. Looked unhinged. Face paint smeared. Backpack full of balloon animals and juggling pins. Staff called him in after he was seen crying behind the building. He didn't resist. Just whispered, "I'm too late, aren't I?" We found out he was a volunteer children's performer. Had a gig scheduled that day. But his car broke down and he ran 3 miles in costume to make it. When he got there, the patient he was supposed to visit had already passed away. The child had requested a clown named Mr. Tumbles for their birthday. Said he made the pain go away. That was him. The hospital confirmed everything. He'd been doing visits for 5 years, never charged a cent, just showed up when it mattered. We didn't file a report. We drove him home instead. Quiet ride. One red balloon floated in the back seat. Story 46. We arrested a man for trespassing and refusing to leave at a petting zoo. He was sitting inside the goat pen, stroking one of the older goats like it was a pet dog. Kids were gone. Staff freaked out. He didn't speak for the first 20 minutes in the cruiser. When he finally did, he said, "That goat's name is Pepper." I raised her, bottle-fed her. She used to fall asleep on my chest. Turns out, he'd been the farm's caretaker for years. Until he lost his job during a restructuring. The new owners bought out the land and kept some of the animals. He had nowhere else to go and hadn't seen Pepper in months. "She remembered me," he said quietly. We verified everything. The staff had no idea. They dropped the charges. I went back the next day and brought him to visit her again. He didn't cry. But the goat did nuzzle his chest like she remembered too. Story 47. Arrested a man who wouldn't stop pressing the emergency call button at a train station. Staff said he was harassing transit workers. They'd warned him. He kept doing it. We arrived ready to issue a citation. He said, "Please don't take me yet. She might still call." He'd been standing there for 3 hours. Turns out, his wife used to commute through that station every day. They would talk on the platform phone during her ride home. After she passed, he came back every Thursday, their old call night, and pressed the button just to hear the beep. He said the silence afterward felt like her voice was almost there. We gave him a warning, but when the cameras weren't looking, I sat down next to him and asked what her voice sounded like. He smiled and told me about her laugh. Story 48. We got a call about a woman sleeping in her car outside a daycare. She'd been there for 2 days straight. Staff worried she was stalking a child. We knocked. She jolted awake and immediately reached for a framed photo on the passenger seat. Said, "I know it looks weird, I just needed to see her." Her daughter had been adopted out of foster care the year before. She wasn't allowed contact. No letters, no updates. The daycare was the only place she knew her daughter would pass through every morning. She didn't follow her. Didn't try to approach. Just parked across the street to watch her walk in, backpack bouncing, hair in pigtails. "I just want to remember her growing up, even if I'm not in the picture." We didn't arrest her. But we did connect her with a caseworker. 6 months later, she got supervised visits. Story 49. We arrested a teenager for tagging a government building with spray paint. Huge, red, angry letters. Lies kill. City wanted him charged. Political graffiti in an election year was a big deal. We expected a fight. But when we brought him in, he was calm. Almost hollow. His sister had died of a fentanyl overdose 6 weeks prior. She'd trusted a drug dealer who claimed it was clean. The guy had been arrested twice and released both times. No charges stuck. She was 16. He said, "I wasn't trying to make a point. I was trying to leave a scar big enough that someone might finally look." We still had to charge him. But the judge heard the story. The case was diverted to art therapy and grief counseling. His first mural was painted on the side of the rehab center that bears his sister's name today. Story 50. One winter morning, we detained a man wandering barefoot in the snow outside a shopping center. People said he was on something, shirtless, talking to himself. We approached. His feet were frostbitten, hands trembling, but his voice was steady. "I gave my coat to a kid at the bus stop. He didn't have one. Couldn't stop crying." We found out later the story was true. A boy waiting for the school bus had been left by his ride and was shaking from the cold. The man gave him everything, coat, gloves, even socks, then wandered off before anyone could thank him. He didn't even know the kid's name. He was homeless, had nothing, gave everything. We didn't book him. We took him to the hospital, then to a shelter. He kept saying, "I'm not a hero. I just knew what it felt like." Story 51. I arrested a woman who tried to walk into a courthouse carrying a sealed box labeled evidence. Security flagged her. She wouldn't say what was inside, and when she refused to leave, I had to detain her. She kept asking for a judge, just one judge, said it over and over. We opened the box during booking. It held a worn baby blanket, a pacifier, and a death certificate. Her child had died in foster care, abuse. The man responsible walked free on a technicality. Poor documentation from a previous case. She'd been trying for 3 years to get someone, anyone, to reopen the file. The box was everything she had left. She was willing to get arrested just to force someone to look at it. I broke protocol and handed it to the courthouse clerk myself. And I still don't know if it changed anything. But I remember how tightly she held that box like it was her entire soul. Story 52. We arrested a man for sitting in the center of a bridge, blocking traffic. He was just sitting, legs dangling off the edge, notebook in hand, writing something. Drivers were furious. We pulled him away before he could jump or run. He didn't resist. At the station, I asked what was in the notebook. He pushed it toward me and said, "Names." It was filled with hundreds of names, dates, ages, places. I thought it was a kill list. Number, it was a list of everyone he'd met who'd tried to talk him out of ending his life. Every therapist, nurse, friend, stranger. Even the guy who gave him a free sandwich at 7-Eleven last week. He said, "If I can fill 3 more pages, maybe I'll wait 1 more year." I sat there and added my name, then passed it to the others in the precinct. We filled 2 pages by the end of the day. Story 53. We detained a man for sleeping inside a laundromat after hours. Owner wanted him gone. Said he kept coming back, even after being warned. I found him curled in a laundry cart under a coat, shivering. When I asked what he was doing there, he said, "This is where I watched my mom fold clothes. Every Saturday, she always sang the same song." He pointed to the corner machine and said, "That one still smells like her detergent." He was in his 30s, clearly struggling with addiction. But in that moment, he wasn't a threat. He was a child frozen in a memory he couldn't let go of. We got him a warm bed and a detox referral. Charges were dropped. The laundromat owner didn't budge. But the next day, we left a coin roll and a new coat in that same cart. Story 54. We arrested a guy for pretending to be deaf at a charity marathon. He'd been walking around with a sign language board asking for donations, but organizers claimed he wasn't actually deaf and was scamming people. The crowd turned on him fast. We took him in. During questioning, he signed furiously. We brought in someone from the department who knew ASL. Turns out he was deaf and homeless. He'd printed the board himself using a library computer. The donations. He was trying to raise enough to buy running shoes so he could actually register for next year's marathon, the same one his brother used to run before dying of heart failure. I wanted to finish it for him, he signed. Just once. We cleared him, gave him a new pair of shoes, and paid his entry for the next year. He didn't come in last, and the crowd cheered louder for him than for the winner. Story 55. Got a noise complaint at a cemetery. Someone blasting music from their car at 2 a.m. Thought it was teens partying. Instead, we found a man standing alone in front of a headstone, Dream On, by Aerosmith, echoing from his old Honda. He didn't move when we approached, just stood there, arms at his sides, eyes wet. The grave belonged to his brother. They used to play that song every time they finished a project in their garage. First car, first stereo system, even their mom's bookshelf. I promised him I'd play it one more time when he was finally free, he said. His brother had been buried with wrongful charges hanging over him, exonerated posthumously, just days ago. The man said, he died with the world thinking he was a thief. I wanted him to hear the music clean. We let him finish the song.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.